Society is all wrong, and there's only one way to make it right. And so that's what we're going to talk about today on this episode of Your Secret You. Is wrong with people? You see it everywhere. You see that people they're insecure with themselves. They're very aggressive. When any little thing happens, and it's an inconvenience, and it gets in the way of, I want to do this, I want to do that. Just a minor little irritation, and the world comes unglued. And you see the media talking about all these different things. And you see how people react to the media. And the media decides whether or not people feel heroic or devastated or whatever they're feeling. It's quite a frightening world to live in if you really think about it. Because people are just following what they're being told. And they're living this life that they really probably, in some sense, don't want to live, but they're living it simply because it's the life that they were handed, and they don't know any other way to do it. So we're going to break out of that. We're going to talk about breaking out of that. And also the real impact of the things that are happening right now. One of the features of society as it stands is, and I've noticed this, people are getting extremely obese. Now, you might think this is sort of just an odd point. This is just some weird oddball thing to say. Because now obesity is this thing that's sort of being championed and people are just trying to accept it, right? Well, this is the problem, is acceptance, because acceptance keeps you sick. If you have a disease, let's say you have a very serious disorder, let's say schizophrenia. If we just accept that as the norm, that completely closes off any way to get better. It does. It forces the person to stay exactly where they're at and to take whatever medications or whatever the treatment plan is. But the treatment plan doesn't actually solve the root cause of the problem. That's the problem. And so any type of acceptance, no matter what it is, when we're talking about problems like this, is really an effort to enslave people, to trap people where they're at. And what I'm telling you is that you can escape. In fact, if you look around, if you look hard enough, you see people have escaped, certain people have. And it takes being able to break away from things that are holding you where you're at. And part of the problem is that people are too afraid to leave things behind, whether it's their family, whether their friends, whatever. I'm sure I've told this story before, but it was a very different time. It was a very different me. And I was pushing about 300 pounds myself. I wanted out of it. I was sick. I was tired. And I thought, well, I felt trapped. Because it seemed like everyone around me, my friends, they all were eating a certain way. And they wanted to stay where they were at. And I was just kind of going along with them, but I realized that if I wanted to go anywhere, if I wanted to escape this, I had to do it on my own. And so what I found out was, when I did that, I actually was alone. My friends weren't going to come along with me. They actually resented me for breaking out of the patterns breaking away from the food. No, it's all right. I don't need that. I don't need the fast food. I don't need this. I don't need that. I'll do my own thing. And the funny thing about it is that it had no impact on them whatsoever. It's not like it was, you know, I'm spending my money to eat the way I want to eat. Has no effect on them whatsoever. They can keep doing exactly what they want to do. The only difference is that I'm getting this benefit in that my separation is allowing me to live in a way to where I'm becoming healthier. And they resent that. And you will be absolutely shocked to find in a lot of cases that you actually don't have friends. There really aren't friends in life. You have people who are trying to not feel lonely. People that are trying to get reassurance from each other. And so when you break away from these things, it is going to get a little bit frightening if you're not prepared for what's coming. And just that fact on its own is going to stop people from finding the truth, because that's where it ends. It's like, well, if I have to leave my family, I guess I'm just not going to find the truth. I guess I'm just not going to live how I ought to live. I'm just going to live how everyone else is telling me to live, and I'm suffering. And that's the reality. Another thing that you have to realize is that most people don't want to be helped. Most people are absolutely satisfied being sick, being ill, being diseased. I was, and you know, this applies to the spiritual things, not just the physical things, obviously. But I was astounded because one time I'd had this conversation with a group of people who had an illness. And I just made a little suggestion because I had found some research that might have been helpful. Hey, this might actually be a huge breakthrough for this problem. And the overall reaction to that response was, get away, get it away. We don't want it. We don't want to get better. And they might not have used those words exactly, but the response was so violent verbally toward any effort of getting better. They were like, oh no, no, somebody told me that I can't get better, so I'll never get better. And this is why the medical industry is also dangerous, is because they do things like that. And doctors will tell, and I'm sure probably you've heard of a story like this, where somebody goes into the doctor for some sort of devastating injury or a condition, and the doctor says, well, you'll never walk again. And it can either go two ways. It's either the person truly never walks again, or despite everything, despite what they were told, despite, oh, this disease can never be cured, they'll walk out. I've had that happen to me at least two major times. I was told that I had arthritis at one point and it had no cure. And I found out it was a simple problem. The doctor had no answer for me. I had to find it on my own. But I got out of it. And there's all these other little problems that, you know, people have and they just live with it. And I was just sick of it. I'm not going to accept this. And so what I found out was that these so-called incurable things are not so incurable as it turns out. It's less about what other people tell you, and it's more about the journey of finding for yourself what's really true. You can't take people's word for it. People will tell you the absolute craziest things. They'll say, oh, this is impossible, until they see it happen. So let's get back to society really quick. So a lot of people are obese. I was astounded the other day, not actually astounded, but for the sake of conversation, I was astounded because I was doing my old job, working with my hands, And I'm looking around and I see, you know, people all the time. They're just going by and I see some Amish people, which is not all that unusual. We have some Amish people that come through now and then. And on this occasion, it was a different Amish couple that I hadn't really seen before. And they were obese. And the Amish woman especially, she was starting to look like all these other women that I see all the time. And they're just, oh my goodness, they're just hundreds of pounds overweight. Obese, like even morbidly obese. And it's the frightening thing is it's not unusual to see this very extreme, very sickly obesity. And you can see people are just not well. You know, they'll get cellulitis and, you know, they have edema and all these other problems and all these terrible things happening. And you can just see it in people. And I thought, wow, even the Amish are not safe. You know, a lot of people think of the Amish as eating clean and living a clean life. Not so in every case. The Amish people, some of them at least, are having the same problems as all the rest of us. And so why is this obesity thing a problem? Well, it's one thing to have obesity in a society, you know, in an amount. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And people are going to blame it on all different kinds of things as the cause. And people are going to try and misdirect and say that it's normal and this, that, and the other thing. The problem is that the obesity is very much linked with illness. It's hard to call it an illness on its own because it's not like it's obvious in and of itself that it's a problem, but it causes all these other problems, or it amplifies other problems that already exist. So obesity, we know there's higher rates of diabetes, higher rates of cancer, higher rates of all these other things happening. And the main problem with that is that society cannot continue if everyone is sick. I actually read something very interesting several years ago about iodine, the mineral iodine, which is an essential mineral for human beings, and you must have it. Otherwise, your thyroid and other things aren't going to work right. And they found even that it's anti-cancer. It has a lot of different properties, and it causes so many different problems when you just don't have it. Well, it gets even deeper than that. They found out that if iodine deficiency is prevalent enough in a society, it can actually collapse the society. Because the thyroid slows down and the brain slows down and people aren't productive members of society anymore and they can't do things that they used to do. So they slow down and the whole society slows down and things begin to fall apart. Things begin to degrade the more ill the people get. And so that's what I'm seeing with this diabetes. What is our future if everybody has diabetes and is on psych meds? And everybody's constantly on a blood sugar swing, and everybody's looking at their phones and looking at social media, and just the littlest thing is going to make someone explode. You know, not to mention the cancers and the heart attacks and all these other problems. Society isn't going to function normally at some point. I mean, it already isn't functioning very well as it is right now. It's a miracle that I can be here right now, sitting at this microphone, telling you calmly what's going on. And we're not having, you know, it's not like we have bodies piling out in the street or anything like that. But it's going to get bad. Believe me. And we have all this technology also playing into the mix. We have things that used to be powered by, you know, mechanical machines, and they've all been computerized. And so now I think there was something that had happened several years ago with the pipeline, the oil pipeline, and they had to actually pull people out of retirement to figure out how to fix the problem with it because the computer stopped working. And so they had to fix it the old-fashioned way. Well, what are we going to do when those people aren't around anymore? And we don't have solutions that, you know, don't involve the computer. It's going to be a major problem. And it's going to be a major problem in a society if we have people who just don't know how to do things. We need a self-sufficient society. We need people who are able to take care of themselves. It is so very important. And we need people who are actually able to resolve their own problems. The more you can resolve your own problems, and the more the whole society can solve its own problems, rather than having to rely on other people to not solve it for them, to give them the illusion of solving it, the better off everyone is. Obesity and all the diseases that come with it are incredible tools of slavery. They get you into the medical system, and they can very easily get you on all kinds of medications that don't actually resolve the obesity. They just keep you alive longer with the problem. And eventually it will progress, and they'll keep making money off of you until you get a very serious condition that kills you or disables you or something. And then now you're just absolutely stuck because you can't work. You can't make your own living. You have to get some sort of welfare. That's just not going to work in the long term. The country is not going to be able to afford it. We can't have an entire society where the majority of people are ill and on welfare. And I know there are plenty of people out there who are going to say that this is a low blow, but I don't mean it in that way. All I'm trying to say is that there is a solution to these things. And the proposed solutions of society aren't working. And actually, the people who I do see getting better have at least a small amount of this quality that they want to break out from the sort of the prison that the society has put them in. Even if it's just in a small little way like that. Just you want to just lose some weight. Do something a little bit for yourself. But we need more of that. And you can bet our schools aren't going to be encouraging this at all. It's kind of like the idea of small business, making your own business. I don't see a whole lot of people my age and younger and even older who went through the education system. And see, I'm a little bit different from everybody. I like the idea of starting a business. I see the value in it. And I actually see in some ways, the superiority of it to just going in and working for the man. Now, you can go in and work for the man if you have to. Get yourself through. But in the long term, it's better to be building something, to have your own little business. It's better to make $50 for yourself than to make $100 for someone else. Wouldn't you agree? Isn't that a better long-term strategy? So it's good to start your own business. And I see a lot of people my age and younger who they're afraid. They're like, oh, I could never do that. I could never do that. And it's because our education system and parents haven't really fostered this environment of our education on taking risks and building things. Young people aren't really encouraged to take risks and do daring things, I suppose. But that's what we need. I mean, look, you love or hate the guy, Elon Musk, that's a daring man. And I know all the naysayers are going to come out and they're going to say, oh, well, you know, he had money, blah, 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 growing up. All right. It's not the point. Because even, and, you know, people say the same thing about Donald Trump. A lot of people don't talk about the fact that when you have so much money, it's actually so much easier to lose all of that money. It's like the problems scale up with the amount of money. So just because, let's say, you have, you know, $90 billion in businesses, which I think is something that's close to what Donald Trump had. And there was a point where in his career, in his lifetime, he almost lost all of that because it was something with the markets. I can't remember the exact reason why his whole setup had crashed, but he ended up owing billions of dollars to bankers. And he had to figure out a way out of it. And so just because you have a lot of money doesn't mean that the problems get easier. In a lot of ways, it gets more difficult. And when you have someone like Elon Musk, his vision is so large and so, you know, and so grand. He's a real visionary. You've got to have a spirit for it that is just all in. And we don't see a whole lot of that. At least I don't see a whole lot of that in the average people. But I think that's a good thing to aspire to, at least, is to be more daring in what you do. Or like Donald Trump said, dream big. And I know he's very much a hot topic of conversation and very hated, but if you read his books, I was just reading his book the other week, How to Get Rich. And it's a great book. I would actually recommend it to anybody. And of course now, you know, people are going to run from that because, you know, Donald Trump is a political figure now. But if you read the book and you look past everything the media says and this, that, and the other thing, if you just actually sit down and read the book has so many principles that are just blatantly true. I've worked for so many people, and I've worked for different businesses, and I've worked for dysfunctional businesses, and he's describing those exact problems that I've seen, where the management has scared the employees into not being able to talk. And this is actually, I'm going to tie this back to the beginning with our country and illness and all this stuff. He's talking about how if your employees, let's say you own a business and your employees don't feel comfortable talking, then the problems never get resolved and the problems get bigger. And then eventually you don't have a business. That's what happens when people aren't allowed to talk. And so this is sort of the situation with free speech in our country. All right, because people want to take away the freedom of speech. They want to make it smaller and smaller. And they want to say, you can't say certain things. You can't do certain things. You can't talk about this. You can't talk about that. Well, you have to take the good with the bad when you have freedom of speech in this country. You have to accept the fact that there's going to be things that you agree with and things that you don't agree with. And it works because people are not afraid to talk about things that matter. And it doesn't matter which side they're on with a topic or whatever. As long as people are able to speak their minds, there is a chance of fixing the problems. But you see how the media is acting with all these things. You see the push to, you know, we accept you as you are. We accept you in your illness. We accept you in all these things. All this acceptance is dangerous. It's actually putting people into early graves. And it will never be fixed as long as the media and other people and communities and things can make people afraid to talk about these things. The problem will never get better. And eventually you will have something resembling a societal collapse or something like the Soviet Union. An interesting thing about that, if you read about how the Soviet shenanigans took place, there, I think it's the first chapter of the Gulag Archipelago. It's a tremendous read. It's a tremendous book. And there's so much going on in there, and I haven't even finished the whole thing because it's a difficult book to read at times. There's so much with it to unpack. You can just sort of read a chapter of it or read a little section of it and just hold on a second. Let me pause to break this down, because there's so much happening. But right at the start of the book, he's talking about how people were just getting arrested openly out in the streets and nobody protested. People were just getting, you know, essentially the authority came by and said, "All right, we're taking you away." And nobody made a scene. Nobody. They just complied and got in the car and disappeared for no reason. Or for some suspicious reason, some so-called reason to be arrested. They would invent things, of course. So you can see that, and he mentions too, he's like, well, why didn't we? Why didn't anybody protest? It must just be because we were just so beaten down. What does it matter anyway? And so the condition of the society was so bad that people didn't even bother to put up a fight. And I see the same kind of thing happening in our country here with all these different topics. And they're making it so that you can't talk about health. You can't talk about obesity. You can't talk about all these other problems. They're making it smaller and smaller every year. And the censorship is getting more and more aggressive. They're hiding things, burying things. And the end result is that society cannot correct itself. And eventually there will be no free speech, as they call it. There will be no... And maybe it will be written in the laws, but people won't use it because it's too much of a risk, because it's too dangerous, because maybe perhaps one day you'll get arrested and, you know, it's just too much to deal with. Why not? Why take the risk and put yourself and your life and your social standing in jeopardy when you can just live a comfortable life and not say anything and just accept things the way they are? It's a very dangerous road that we're headed down. So what is the way out? We talked about obesity. We talked about health and diabetes and all these things, and even iodine deficiency. Well, how, because this is the point, is that there's no future with all these things. America has no future if the future is illness. It'll just bring collapse. So how do we get out of this? We need people to realize that there even is a way out. We need people to figure out the secret. And if enough people figure it out, and just take a small action. Here's another thing that's undervalued. Is you don't have to change the whole world overnight. All right? The whole change that has to happen, or well, the change that has to happen is a change that's small. and it happens in you, and you just say, well, you know what? Because this is what I did at the time, right? And this is just sort of physical world advice, but there's a spiritual element to it. I'm going to go for a walk. Instead of just sitting here at my desk like a lump, I'm going to get up and go ahead and walk. And maybe you only walk for 5 minutes. Doesn't matter. You're just going to do a little walk. And you come back. And maybe the 5 minute walk is actually a little difficult. Maybe it's not very fun. But you come back and you do it and you just say, all right, well, you know what? If this is what I need to move forward, I'm just going to take my 5 minute walk. And eventually what will happen is that 5 minute walk is going to get easy. Oh, wow, that 5 minutes is nothing. I'm going to do 10 minutes. And so then you go on your little 10 minute walk. And eventually the 10 minutes gets easy and you can just keep going longer and longer and you start walking. And so this is what I did. This was the mechanical steps that I took to lose the weight that I talked about. And I realized that, well, if I could just eat one meal a day, and it could be a really big meal, and it could probably even be bad food, but if I just took that little measure and I just ate one meal a day instead of three, just had one big meal, I could probably eat whatever. And with all the exercise, I could probably get away with that and lose weight. And what I found was that I actually became less hungry in general. I didn't have to, you know, eat so much. And I could get away with eating things that I enjoyed, and I just ate my one meal a day. And I went on my little walk. And this was before all of these things became trendy. And, you know, now they're kind of, you know, now we have intermittent fasting and we have, you know, all this stuff and keto and whatever. It's become a big deal on the internet. This was before all of that. Like it was there, it existed. Perhaps somebody had written about it, but it wasn't really this mainstream thing that everybody recommends and talks about now. But it was just small little common sense things that I did. And it wasn't all at once. It was just sort of the thing that happened all at once was I realized I needed to get better and that I wasn't going to get any reinforcement from anybody else. I wasn't going to get any reassurance that it was the right thing. I was going to have to go on it alone. And that's how it is with anything that is true and worth pursuing in life. You're going to have to go at it alone. You can't bring anyone with you. So that's what I did. I made a small little change, and the small little change grew, and the results came with it. And so that's all it takes for anybody. Anybody can do that. You have your little 5 minute walk, but most people won't even do that. It's just too much to bear. It's too much of a change. And at that point, the question is, how much do you love your pain? Do you really want to hold on to it? You have to want to let go of it. And so, yes, there's plenty of people out there who will hold on to their pain until the grave. But that's really all it takes, is that small little desire for change. And that's on a spiritual level. And it applies to the physical as well. So if you find that you're in this place, you feel sort of trapped in your own life, I can give you all kinds of little, you know, mechanical pieces of advice and tips and specifics regarding your situation, but I'd rather not get into that and just focus on the main point, which is that no matter what you are facing, you are not dealing with an outside struggle. If you're obese, the problem isn't coming from outside. You know, it's even tempting to blame the food. You blame the food, you blame the people around you, you blame everything. It's all a condition that's actually taking place inside of you. And if you can resolve that, if you can start with resolving that, it's the keystone that's holding up all your problems. You could just pull it out and the building collapses. And I mean that in a good way. The building of all your the house of lies that you've built for yourself will collapse if you just start with that small little desire for change. And all problems, you begin to realize that all these problems are really the same problem. They may have a different outward appearance. They may have all these other different little problems that seem to make them unique, but it all comes from the same place. I could probably draw it out as a diagram, but I've absolutely written this out in a book that I plan to put out at some point. I explained how something like diabetes and obesity can be tied back to an inner problem because of all of these things that we just talked about with your friends. Or it starts with, let's just say, loneliness, dissatisfaction with your life. Isn't that the beginning of everyone's problems, no matter what it is? Like, you're dissatisfied with life, so you take up gambling. You're dissatisfied with life, and so you're attracted to smoking. You want to smoke pot, smoke whatever you want to smoke. But it comes from that dissatisfaction. You're dissatisfied with life, and so to escape things, you eat. And then you find your friends doing all the same things, and they're wanting to escape life. And so now you have your friends to escape with. There's no actual friendship happening. There's no love that's happening there. It is entirely people using each other. That's what this is. And so the friends all sort of use each other to get a feeling, and they feel good about, you know, being friends and stuff, and they have a good time, and then they're all eating together, and they reinforce their bad behaviors that they share. And eventually that leads to another type of problem, where now, if I break away from my friends, I'll feel lonely again, even though I feel lonely right now. You know, like, that's the psychological thing that's happening. It's like, you're going to feel lonely even when you're around your friends. But somehow you're afraid that if you break away from your friends and you break away from all this stuff, that you're going to feel lonely again. You've been deceived. And so that leads to an anxiety. Now you sort of have this resentment toward your friends, but you feel like you love them at the same time. And this happens in families too. You've probably seen it a million times over. So you're afraid to break away. And then that just leads to even more problems, because then people are attracted with their dissatisfaction. They're attracted to the people selling the solutions, the so-called solutions. So they go to the therapy, they go in to get their psych meds because they're depressed and they're anxious and they don't know why. And the problem is actually really simple. The problem is that there's an inner conflict happening within yourself. And you are at odds with accepting the lie or accepting the truth. And the thing is, accepting the truth is a scary thing, because it seems like you're going to lose it all. But you're actually, this is the biblical principle. This is what Jesus was talking about. In order to save your life, you must lose it. Those who seek to save their lives will lose their lives. And those who lose their lives will save it. And that was another thing that Jesus said, was taking up your cross. And he's like, take up your cross and follow me. You'll have to leave your family behind. And not just in a physical sense, but you saw how people people in the Bible, it was apparent that they didn't want to abandon their families. But it caused conflict. The truth caused conflict in the families, and that's what he was talking about too. There will be, you know, however many in a house. It'll be five in a house and two against three and three against two. That's how it happens. Because the truth is going to bring conflict, and it seems like the scarier option. But it's actually the saving option. It's the salvation option. The other one is a comfortable, well, it seems comfortable, even though it isn't. It's a nice, comfortable, hellish, slow, miserable death. And I think that about wraps it up for now. I'd like to thank you for listening to the show. And tune in next week. And we'll talk about more interesting things like this. So, I hope you found something useful. And just remember, it is a small, quiet desire for change. It's more powerful than anything else in the world. And you'll be able to endure the most frightening things. The things that you think are the most frightening. But it's really not. That small desire for change will carry you through if you just keep following it. And don't get carried away and don't get lost. Don't get pulled off of that straight and narrow, as it's called.